dare great things for Christ. Christ calls us to dare great things. In the marketplace, as well as in the mission field, there has never been a time like the present for the spirit of the Catholic entrepreneur. Now is the time for men and women of great courage and great vision to engage our church and our culture. Now is the time to dare great things. And here is your host as we dare great things, Father Nathan Cromley, the president and founder of the St. John Institute.
Christians have long professed that we are at the same time the same as everyone else and different. We're the same because we're human just like anyone else, but we're different because we've received the grace of Christ. Well, if this is true, then our leadership will also be the same and different. Our leadership will have to follow the same laws as everyone else and the same structure, but we should also be leading with the grace of Christ. I wanted to find out what this meant and share a short course with you, a series of talks on this subject to help you appreciate the Christian advantage. Hey everybody, welcome back. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad we have this chance to understand more deeply what the call of Christ is to us in our leadership. Now remember, there's four kinds of leadership out there, right? You've got the leadership of a husband in his marriage. You've got the leadership of parents in their families. You've got the leadership of individuals in society. And then you have the leadership of people in the workplace. And each of these different fields of leadership have the same kind of structure to them. An individual person makes an impact in the lives or the situation around them and brings other people into that influence that they've carried, right? That's what leadership is. How I bring you to follow me. If I'm in a leadership position, then I need to have not only the skill set to do the job, but also the other type of skill set that allows me to help you to help me to do the job, to create a team, to lead other people. I mean, if we're all just on our own doing things in the world, that's wonderful and it's great. But we won't be able to be effective in what we do in the society at large without the ability to bring other people effectively into what we're doing, okay? So the skill of doing that we call leadership. And I love to focus on it because when I look at the discipleship that Jesus is asking for from his followers, I see him time and time again literally begging us to be leaders for him, to bring people underneath his influence, behind him, so to speak, so that he can lead them to heaven. I mean, he came to the earth, of course, and he left a whole law for us. He left an example for us. He showed us how to live and to live well. And then he sent his disciples to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, right, and teaching them to observe all that he commanded us. In other words, Jesus is the leader. He's the king, and he's showing all humanity the way to live, right? Justice, fortitude, prudence, temperance, you know, love for God, faith, surrender to the Father, all of those truths. And then he sends us out, and he says, now make disciples, right? So I want you to bring people into that truth. So on the one hand, the influence is his, and on the other hand, the influence is supposed to be ours, right? And he said, I want you to claim the family for me. I want you to claim the culture for me. I want you to claim your workplace for me, right? So how am I supposed to do that? Well, this is where Christian leadership comes in. The leadership, the influence, and all the studies that you guys are doing to try to become the disciples that he made you, but also to become the great leaders that he wants you to be. Because we all know, right, we can have a great business, we can have a great market, we can have a great product, but if we don't have good leadership, the business will fail. It's as essential as anything else in the company is the ability that you have and your people have to bring other people to effectuate the plan, to follow through with the project, to do and work for you as you get the things done that you need for the world. And so you come to courses, you read books, you find methods, right, that will help you to develop your leadership. And these are all fine things and wonderful things. But I wonder what that would look like if we applied it also in the context of our own Christian faith. Meaning that if we took the great truths of Christ and then applied the skills of leadership to making those truths resonate in our world. If we took the presence of Jesus, that he promised he'd be with us always, how do I use leadership development to make Jesus better known in the world? It's a really great question. And it's one I think that our church really needs to confront, because one thing that happens with, for example, with the priesthood, in the Catholic Church, the priest is the leader, you know, of the parish. He's the chief evangelizer. And the priest gets all this development in understanding theology and of spirituality, but very little development in how to then make that resonate successfully through a parish, both through mechanisms and organization, and also through even personal relationships. A lot of it's left up to the personality of the priest and whether or not he had a good mom and dad, right, who taught him how to smile and laugh and et cetera, right? Because, and a lot of priests don't have that. And so, and what ends up happening is that the evangelization suffers. Well, you could do the same thing by looking at your own family in the same way. I mean, your job is to bring your kids to heaven. Oh yeah, but who's gonna teach you how to do that, right? I mean, how do you handle this situation? How do you handle this situation? How do you handle your own inner baggage? A lot of times people are upset about the priest this, the priest that. And, you know, we priests can look around and say, what about you? You know what I mean? Like, how are you doing with your kids? How, you know, because some people do a great job and other people really struggle. Why? Because we all know what we are supposed to do, the what of our lives. But the how escapes us. And especially to do it well. I mean, one thing is to parent, another thing is to parent well. Right? So this is where leadership development can come in, because it can help you to harness the deep gifts that God's given you and the strengths that God's given you, and then to deploy them effectively in whatever sphere of influence the Lord has placed you, so that you can influence that place well. So things like confidence, things like communication, things like optimism, things like handling your time, you know, effectively. All these things are really important, because they help give us a how, a leadership basis for the what, right? The mission that we've been entrusted with, be it our marriages, our families. And I think that this is good, but I wonder if there's not something more. Because on the one hand, I could look at leadership with you and I could say, okay, so Christian leadership development means taking that humanity of yours and teaching you how to employ the virtues into that humanity so that then you can do what you need to do for Christ and do it well. And I think that that's a very noble subject, and it's great. It's an approach, right? It's an approach that starts from the bottom up. We look at the humanity of the human person and we say, okay, your humanity needs to be developed, so let's get you some skills. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it, and I love it. And I'll spend a lot of time doing just that with you. But in this course, I want to take you through something a little bit different. I want to teach you how to look at leadership from the top down. Meaning, in other words, not looking at just how I develop my humanity to be a better leader for Christ, which is very good, and at his mission. It's just that I want to take a look from a different angle at it with you, and that is to look at it from the top down. How does grace transform me to be the leader that God wants to use to make his leadership known in the world? In other words, how does God equip me to be his instrument? What's the advantage that I have as a follower of God Almighty in my leadership, right? So instead of looking at the two separately and saying, I just need to become a better human being in order to be a better leader, what if I were to say, if I'm a disciple of Christ and I follow Christ, what impact will that make in the way that I interact with the world and the way that I interact with my employees, with my spouse, with my children? Right? What difference does Jesus make in the lives and in the active leadership of his leaders? I'm really fascinated by this, because I like to call it the Christian advantage, right? Because if we are going to follow Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is God, well, there ought to be a blessing, right? That comes our way, not just in a selfish sense, but in the sense of like, this should make our humanity will shine in a way that we could never develop on our own. I mean, it'd be one thing to say, okay, I've learned to be a very just person. I've learned to be a very temperate person. I've learned to be very balanced in my decisions. Okay, that's great. You know, you could be a stoic and gain all of that. You could follow stoic philosophy and gain a sense of virtues, right? But well, a Christian looks at virtues, looks at development of the human person in a way that's so deep and so beautiful. And I want to celebrate that with you in this course. And it's not putting anyone else down. It's just saying, like, look, if you're going to become virtuous like a Christian. Because our virtue will shine above any other naturally acquired virtue from anyone else because it comes from God and is blessed by God and is a sharing in the virtue of Christ. That's just to speak about virtue, right? But there's all kinds of, from our, of the way that we manage our time to the way that we interact with our employees to the way that we organize our business, there ought to be a difference. When we, instead of just saying, I'm going to do these things at the service of God, if I let God guide me as I do them, well, then I will do them in a way that should be superior, radiant, advantageous, a blessing. And that's what I want to look at with you and examine that in detail so that we can celebrate our decision to lead the world by following Jesus.
Would you like to hear more from Father Nathan? Join the St. John Leadership Network and receive a 2-minute glance at the gospel every Sunday morning right to your phone. To learn more, go to www.stjohnleadershipnetwork.org/member and join for free today.
All right, so in this class in particular, I want to look at what I call the Christian leadership advantage. It's kind of a boring title, but then again, it gets to the heart of things. And it's to say that what if I let God lead me in the way that I lead others? A lot of times people say, well, I'm not a leader, Father Nathan. I'm like, are you a mom? The answer is yes, I'm a mom. Well, then you're a leader. You've got 4 little ones that you're supposed to lead to heaven. I mean, are you an aunt? Yes. Well, then you're a leader. Do you own a drugstore? Yes. Then you're a leader. I mean, you can't get around it that wherever the human being acts with freedom and directs themselves through life, they will impact the world around them. And if you're impacting the world for ill, well, I mean, that shame on you, right? Repent. Don't do that. Bad news bears. But if you're impacting the world in a good way, well, then you want people to follow you. You want to bring people behind you so that that impact actually, you know, is the way to follow. And that's called leadership. And from the way that we clean our homes and take care of our domestic chores to the way that we interact with our grandparents, right? If they're talking to us and we're sitting down with them, the way that we bring the best conversation out, all of us are exuding leadership all of the time. So if someone says, I'm not a leader, I get it. I mean, right, you might not have a post of leadership in society. But then again, some of you will. And that's equally important to enhance and to develop. So the reason I'm saying all this is because you have 2 ways of looking at that leadership. You can either look at it from the bottom up or the top down. Bottom up means, okay, I am leading other people. Okay, and so that's great. So I have to develop my leadership, and then I do that in order to accomplish Christ's will in my life. Top down is to say, I am following Christ. My union with Christ is the very first thing that I put first. And my love for Jesus is there. And then he's going to transform me from the inside by grace. And that's going to make me into a special kind of leader. Not just a human being who's leading other people, although I always am, but a human being transformed by grace who's leading other people. And this means that I become his instrument in a way that's very direct. The one who's influencing the people more than me is the Lord through me. Now, I want to right away, like, we dispel any kind of false mysticism or thoughts that, you know, this is somehow, you know, it negates the power of my actual leadership. The words that I say, the example that I bear, the decisions that I make, they're all still mine. It's just that what if the example that I bore, the decisions that I made, the words that I spoke, what if they were instruments by which God himself could heal and bless the world? I mean, not just indirectly, but directly. I mean, what if, in fact, my presence in the workforce could somehow or other bring his? I mean, that's an astounding thought. It's a thought that a lot of people aren't really ready to go to because it's where religion gets real. But this is our problem today, because honestly, a lot of people discount religion and discount its value even in society because they don't allow religion to really say everything that it wants to say. There's ways to look at religion where we can say, okay, your religion means that you worship God. Well, that's true. We worship God. But Christianity goes even a step further. Not only do we worship God, but God uses us to extend his influence into the world. And you could say, okay, I can kind of understand it because you do good things. And I would say, yes, let me take it even a step further. Not just because I do good things, like I open a business and I give money to charity, and therefore I'm extending God's influence in the world. You are doing it that way. That's very true. But there's even a third level, which is to say that God bears his influence through us directly, meaning our love, our decisions, our presence, our action as a leader actually bears God's influence in a spiritual way from our souls to the souls of the people who are receiving it. Now, this is a really beautiful thought because it means that the body of Christ, which is the church, actually would bring the spirit of Christ through its actions into the world. And let me just tell you, this is such a beautiful, incredible doctrine that the Holy Spirit could flow through wherever his members are placed to heal the spirits and to lift up the spirits of everyone who interacts with us. This is a really integral part of what it means to be a church and to be a member of the body of Christ. Meaning that the people that I'm interacting with, from my clients to my colleagues, to my employees, to my boss of all things, right? We can sometimes forget about the boss, but he's there too, or she's there too. Every person I interact with is looking for God on the inside, and that God could speak to their hearts through me is an extremely important thing for me to remember in my leadership, because it means that through the influence that I bear as someone who's above them or serving them as a leader, I'm able to enlighten, to awaken, to bring a spark out of the depths of that person that otherwise I couldn't happen. This is the advantage of Christian leadership. A Christian leader influences the world in three ways. The first of all is by a human being who's leading others upward by doing what's right and ethical. The second way, by producing good things and doing good services and blessing the world in that way and extending by fighting the good fight, not allowing impure things to be in your stores, making sure that the job you do is done honestly, making sure that your prices are correct and respectful, etc. And then in the third way, by directly bringing God's influence from your soul to their soul, by them interacting with someone who is leading them like Christ, leading them with holiness. Right? And this is a challenge for us because it's kind of easy to do the first two. You can kind of stay apart from Christ and do the first two. Just be ethical, be good, talk about God, do the right thing. Yes, but the third one challenges us because there I need to plunge myself into Christ, be united with him, have his soul radiate through mine. And yet I'm going to tell you at the same time, when you start to look at your presence in this way and your job in this way, as if the reason why I was their boss was more than just getting the job done, but to be in their midst as a disciple of Christ, your religion will start to mean more to you. And your spirituality will take a whole new level of intensity. And this is the challenge, why Christ made you a leader to begin with. If he gave you a business, it wasn't so that you could just make money thereby, although that's a fine thing. He gave you a business so that you could become a saint and that you would rely on him, lean in on him, right? And this is in order, why? So that everyone who's around you would be able to work in the presence of a saint. Right? Again, it's a big challenge, and yet this is why we're here, and this is what Christ is calling us to do.
Would you like to start your Thursday mornings with a scriptural leadership lesson? Join the St. John Leadership Network, where Father Nathan hosts a 30-minute call at 6:30 a.m. in all four U.S. time zones. To learn more, go to www.stjohnleadershipnetwork.org/member and join for free today.
So let's talk about what it means to be an instrument of Christ, an instrument of God, right? It's a term that we're used to using because it's familiar with us, right? To be God's tool, like St. Francis of Assisi says the prayer, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace, right? But it's actually hard for our minds to comprehend what this means. And this is why a lot of us struggle to put faith into our business and business into our faith, because we see the two realms as being very separate, just as we see ourselves as being kind of separated also from God. What I mean by that is to say, look, a normal thing does something according to its own power that it has in it. If you have an axe, for example, the axe has a shape, and then the axe cuts wood by the shape. So no one says, well, that axe didn't cut the wood, God cut the wood. It's like, no, the axe cut the wood. That totally makes sense. It has a shape to cut wood. It was swung at the thing, so the axe split the wood. No piece. And then same thing, you have God. If he does something, there's no sense in saying someone else did it. Because if God does, you know, creates the universe, he creates it. It's him who does it. It's almost like what we're used to doing is attributing the effect of something or someone to who they are. Okay, so there's a thing, what we are, and then there's the power that we do, and we unite the two together. But when you're using an instrument, you're using a thing not just according to its power, right, but also according to the power of the one who is deploying it. So if you take a scalpel, for example, of course a scalpel can cut, yes, but for a scalpel to cut in a very precise surgery, you want it to be in the hands of a very precise and skilled surgeon. So that then when the scalpel is wielded, it's wielded according to its power, yes, but to produce an effect, well, that's just really the effect of the surgeon who's using it. Or a violin. You can have many violins. It all depends on who plays them, right? And the sound of that violin will still belong to the violin, but there'll be something more added to it. So it's not an either or, it's a both and. And when it comes to doing God's work, God will use our voice, our words, our presence, our decisions as leaders to render his effect, which is something greater than we could ever do on our own. And this is the audacity, right, of a daring leader. This is what we call Christians daring leaders. Because when you're a Christian, you're daring to produce an effect beyond anything you could do just all by yourself. And what I find is just so many Christians do is they stay at that very first level of leadership. Remember what I said, there's three levels, right? The first level is, I am a Christian and I'm just trying to do this for God. Right. And then the second level is, I am a Christian and what I do God's work, right? Through them. So not just doing my work for God, but I'm actually doing God's work, making my business into a place where we can bless the world through my business. And then the third level, though, is what I want you to dare for. And this third level is to say, I am a Christian and I let God use me to do his work. This is a whole different level because there I need to be united to him like a violin in the hands of a great artist, letting him use, well, my skills, my decision, my drive, right? My intuition, my instinct, also my ability to detect what's going wrong in the world or what where an opportunity might fail, or my empathy to build up the team, all the things that I do every single day. When I go into the office, every single day, when I build my team, every single day, when I create a project and I'm collaborating with others, all those skill sets, planning it out, putting in a safety, realizing when you have to stop, looking at the thunder clouds to see if the rain is coming, making the decision about the weather, all these different things, balancing your budget. You do all those things, and yet you have the audacity to do them with Christ in your heart, with your mind turned to him. And so when you do those things, you allow him to do an effect that's even greater than you. And this, I mean, like you could go up and do a presentation and totally inspire somebody. And you didn't even try to inspire them, but they were inspired because you let Christ use you in that situation. And you, by keeping your patience and being virtuous and not using bad language, when you had a difficult conversation, you healed someone's broken heart. And you could say, well, that wasn't me doing that. And it wasn't you doing that. But it was Christ using you to do it. Instrumentally is the word, right? Like I am an instrument in the hands of Christ. And I love this, everyone, because it gives you a perspective on your workday that, well, that's audacious. And even if you're not in a business, if you're at home with your family, it's the same thing. To believe that my union with Christ will allow Christ to be united with the people around me. That is a lot of it. And a lot of times, it's out of humility, we back down from that. We say, oh my gosh, Father, that's not me. I'm just a sinner, or I'm just somebody, you know. And I'm like, well, if you're just a sinner, then it's time to become a saint. Right? I mean, well, you know, or, you know, you say, I'm just a nobody. Why do you say you're a nobody when God made you, right? Like, who wants to spend 8 hours out of their day saying that they're a nobody? Nobody should want to be a nobody, right? Instead, we should spend our time during our day claiming who we are. You see, and there you see where a lot of us need to be healed. Because deep down inside, a lot of us are scared of the light that we will shine more than we are scared of our own darkness. It's not the darkness that frightens us, it's the light, right? And this is where I want to confront you, because, hey, our world is waiting for people to shine the light of Christ on it. Why don't you become those people? And you can start to think to yourself all the reasons why, right? From my sins in my past, to my personal shame, right? To my sense of being a failure. And I like to say all those areas are exactly where Christ is waiting to meet you. Because Christ wants you to meet him there, to lean in on him there, to find him in your weakness, to claim him there where you're broken, so that he can get busy using you. Because meanwhile, a broken world out there thinks there's no hope. And you have all kinds of people who don't even know their right from their left or where to go. And God's put them in your office. He's put them in as your customers. He's put them as your suppliers. And you're not just there, in other words, just to do a business well. You're not just there to use a business to bless the world. Those are important things, but you're there for this third reason. And that is to bring Jesus's effect through your own. And that's the let Jesus transform the world through you. That's a call to holiness. It's a call for the daring. And it's a call for Christians who dare to lead. And I think that's why we're here. So I want to go through the rest of the series with you and look at that more deeply.
Dare great things for Christ.
Share your feedback with Father Nathan. Send us an email at communications@stjohninstitute.org. That's communications@stjohninstitute.org. And visit www.stjohninstitute.org and sign up for our newsletter to receive updates from Father Nathan.